I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper, the Starling Tribune. I am the chief editor, Stargate Pioneer. Everyone calls me SP, and your other reporters for this episode 152 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Look, I enjoy getting blown up just as much as the next guy, but am I missing something here?
I think we have a little determination to make on what exactly is being blown up, but we'll talk about that in a second. Michelle is our other reporter.
I think you and I have different ideas of what interesting means.
I think so, and maybe later we can talk about the definition of is. This podcast is recorded on Thursday, May 11th, 2017, live on Geeks.live. We're also simultaneously streaming on DCTV and Spreaker. Hey, one of the great things about the Starling Tribune here on Earth 2 is that in addition to being famous newspaper reporters, also award-winning, we all claim to be Earth 1 comic enthusiasts, right, Chris?
That's right. I like to read me some comic books.
And Michelle!
You know, DC, I really need you guys to not do the twice monthly $6 a month thing now. I can do one Wonder Woman and one Flash a month or $4 a month. That would be nice.
I know. I actually mistakenly picked up a Supergirl that I already had in my pull list on the stacks. And when I got up to the counter, my comic book guy said, "You know what? You got two Supergirls here. You sure you want two Supergirls?" And, you know, Supergirl's great and everything. But I'm like, no, I just want the one. My bill is over $50 and I need to get it down.
It's tough to do, though.
It is, because I'm interested in all of them.
I had to go through, and because DC, because I kept Wonder Woman, Green Arrow, and Flash, and because they're twice monthly, and that's $6 a month for each of them, then I had to let another title go. I had to let several titles go. This weekend, it literally was like this Hunger Games with the comic book titles in there. And you know, like that Star Trek music, you know, when Kirk and Spock were fighting and stuff was playing. And then I finally got the list. So
was it Kirk and Spock or Kirk and the Gorn? It was Kirk and the Gorn, right?
Well, he fought Spock during the Ponfar stuff, too.
Oh, yeah, Ponfar.
That one.
Ooh, that's pulling out. What are we talking about? Over 50 years ago now? Yeah. Maybe I watched that episode live, and maybe I didn't. You can figure that one out on your own. Anyway, to get back to DC and Arrow, tonight we'll be discussing this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that definitely could impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the companion shows that we discuss every week, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Vixen, Constantine, and The Swamp Thing, the series.
Classic TV right there. So just a reminder, our speculations are going to include a lot of information that the showrunners and actors have shared in various interviews or articles out on the internet. So while we're throwing out some wild speculation, we might accidentally be right and spoil something coming later down the pipe. So please consider yourselves warned. And while we're talking about spoilers, don't forget, sometimes we do geek out about the current DC comic arcs and books that are out there. So there could be some comic spoilers we drop in here and there, though we'll try our best not to ruin anything for you.
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GunnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gunna Geek Productions banner.
Whew, Thanks, guys. We got through that. Why don't we go ahead and break down the current episode? And let me see. Michelle, why don't you do that for us this week?
Sure. This episode was called Honor Thy Fathers. It's season 5, episode 21. It aired Wednesday, May 10th, 2017. Director Laura Besley has done 3 episodes of Arrow, 1 Blind Spot, and 4 Criminal Minds. Writers Mark Guggenheim, The Man, also written 14 episodes of Arrow, 8 episodes of Legends, and he wrote this video game called Singularity, which is a really cool game. You hop time and stuff like that. So if you catch it on sale or something like that, I actually recommend that video game. And the other writer was Sarah Tokar. She's also written 5 episodes of Arrow, 6 Vixen, and 1 Witches of East End, which I missed that show. I really liked that show. One season.
Interesting team. Laura Besley, Mark Guggenheim, and Sarah Tarkoff. Well, this episode of Honor Thy Fathers, which aired last night, right now we're talking about May 10th, 2017, earned a spectacular improvement over last week. We're talking about a rating of 1.65. That is up from the previous series low of 1.36, I believe, which was equal to the time before that. But also this week, we had an episode of Supergirl and the Flash. On Monday, May 8th, Supergirl aired with their episode City of Lost Children to a 1.88 million viewers. And Tuesday, the Flash had the episode Cause and Effect, which brought in 2.71. So even with the increase in ratings, Arrow is bringing up the rear in terms of CW TV ratings.
Ouch.
I know. It just hurts. At least it was an improvement. I'm hoping the next couple of episodes will improve a little bit more, because we are coming into the penultimate and the season finale, and a lot of great things are set to occur, and we are set to report them the next day. So in the meantime, we'll talk about Honor Thy Fathers, which is the title of the episode, and we suspect that the title also ties into the overall theme. Isn't that right, Chris?
I don't know what you're talking about. There is no mention of any fathers or any legacies from fathers to sons in this episode. There is no subtle allusion to anything like that.
So when Oliver was laughing about legacies when he was face to face with the Prometheus, you just knew what was going to happen. It's like, legacies? Your father didn't have a legacy. Yeah, that was just funny. You're a funny guy. When he's got a sword to his neck, that takes some balls. Anyway, we did have fathers' legacies noted in this episode, didn't we, Michelle?
Yeah. Ollie's father's accused of a crime, and Ollie's like, he's innocent. And then going through that, and then Chase is wanting to improve daddy's little bioweapon. And then to me, someone who did not honor the fact that he is a father, and that is Renee, who biggest jerk move of, I don't know, the season. To me, I have personal connections to this because he had that hearing and there was this little girl and Renee's just like, I'm just not going to show up because it'll put her through some trauma, and not showing up puts her through more trauma. And I just want to slap Renee.
Well, did he no show, or was it that Prometheus started kidnapping people? Because the preview for next week is Prometheus picking people off one by one, so I was unsure whether that was the first drop in the bucket, was Renee getting taken out.
No, I think he actually just didn't show up.
I have to back up Chris here. I thought that was the deal as well, and even though in the preview it says something that's slightly different, I still don't know if that's true or not. So we'll have to wait until next week to find out, really.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't know show, but I think they were trying to keep that element of doubt in place there, because they didn't explicitly state that this was Renee's decision, nor did they explicitly state that, hey, Prometheus is behind this either.
It's like, if Renee wasn't kidnapped and he's just a no show, like, epic jerk face jerk.
I would agree with that. That was a jerk move, especially since he wasn't even texting Quentin, who he asked to be there on his behalf. So I have to think that he did want to be there and he was prevented from being there for some reason. That's the arc that he's been on. This is the redemption. We'll see what happens. We'll see. Okay, so it wasn't just Renee, though. It was also Oliver's father was brought into the fray as well.
Well, yeah, he's always been a bad dude. We've just kind of overlooked it because of the fact that, oh, I killed myself to save my son to go and fix everything I did wrong. But Robert Queen, much like Moira Queen, not very good in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, you can actually say that. I remember in my notes, I put good parents doesn't mean you're good people. You know?
It took me a while to think about this whole thing because Mr. Queen, I believe that was truly an accident for Robert Queen to get rid of his, I don't know, argumentative counterpart into a vat of concrete. And there was no attempt to save him either. And Robert Queen covered it up afterwards. So it was an accident that he ended up in the concrete, but Robert didn't do anything to try to make it right or save the guy or whatever. So that's where he crossed the line, in my opinion.
Yeah, he did. He hit it. And then he went on to plan the undertaking with Moira and Malcolm, which I guess you could say that he was trying to turn over a new leaf then, because I guess he must have been causing trouble because he actually got murdered. I mean, the whole Queen's Gambit going down was not an accident. So maybe Robert was on his own path of redemption.
I think that would be plausible, especially since in other Earths, Robert Queen actually turns out to be the Arrow after Oliver is killed within the Queen's Gambit and Robert ends up on Leon Yu instead. So it is possible, but I think that's a story that they're saving to tell bit by bit, piece by piece, because we've got another season, folks. Don't know how long that season is, but we have another season. So that is the main theme of the episode. Included in that theme, though, there were a lot of good fights. We had the chemical fight, we had the defuse, the bioweapon, and we even had some moves on Leon Yu. Not much, but they were there. So, Chris, what happened at the chemical plant?
Lots of gunfire, man. We got to bring back one of my favorite guys, Derek Sampson's back. Good old Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, so do you think he successfully did the fight, or do you think his superpowers...
Oh, his superpowers totally make it for him. I mean, the dude feels no pain, so a fight with him is... It's tough to for your opponent to beat him.
Gotcha. And then there was the big fight when they were defusing the bioweapon. This was a multi-stage fight like we're accustomed in the Arrow Team era. And you've got a roof fight, you've got a stairwell fight, and you've got kind of a separate roof fight going on, don't you, Michelle?
Yeah, my favorite part, I know Prometheus and Ollie in the stairwell, the stunt guys did great, but my favorite is Dinah. I really enjoy Dinah in this episode. Not only did she kick butt as Detective Drake because she's, you know, finding evidence and putting evidence together and, you know, here's a suspect, and then she's got her bow staff in the fight and she does her canary cry and everything. She had a stellar episode.
Have I mentioned that Dinah Drake was my new favorite character on Arrow? Have I mentioned that before?
No, never.
Never at all. This is a surprise, SP.
I did not have any idea.
Juliana Harvey. Is it Harkavy?
Harkavy, I thought it was, or something like that.
Harkavy, she does an amazing job. She is what the show is made for, and I would say she is actually out acting even the great Stephen Amell on there, because she's just that cappy. Every time she's on screen, I want to see her. I don't care about the rest of the team. And yes, Oliver is going through some amazing stuff in this episode, but Dinah Drake has it going on, and they just need to continue that, because I now have a reason to keep watching the show, and that's Dinah. So please don't kill her off. Please don't do it. So, yeah, that was amazing, especially the canary cry. She only did it once, and it was at the exact right time. It was great. And it was a team takedown of your favorite guy, too, Chris, by the way. It took three of them.
That's what you need to do to take out a badass like that.
And they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had some amazing flashbacks. Another great aspect of this show since day one, really, with the pilot episode. And we get more Anatoly! I thought we weren't going to get any more Anatoly, but we get a little bit of time with him.
And they're still friends. They're still brothers. It's before they have their falling out.
No, that line killed me when they're saying their goodbyes at the beach. And he's like, you will always be my brother. And it's like, no, no.
Did you guys like the fact that Oliver just knew how to fly? Like, he had that radio thing going back to, I believe it was season two, right? He had the radio thing. Oh, my dad's a pilot. I've hung around airplanes. Well, now he's flying. It doesn't seem to me that Anatoly knows how to fly. And yet, Anatoly's got to get himself back in a float plane back to Russia. And he doesn't know how to fly.
It could make for an interesting trip then, couldn't it? It's problematic.
Think so. It was good to see the Amazo in the background. It was good to see Deathstroke's mask. It was just good to be back on the beach.
And we kind of called it that Oliver wears a fake beard and a wig because that's what's in the bag that Anatoly gives him. Because he says that line about how, you know, no one's going to believe there was a barbershop on the island.
Yeah, that was a funny one.
Because we've been thinking about all year, how's he going to get that hair? How's he going to get that beard? And, you know, we've been kidding that it's vodka and the magic herbs. Well, we find out it's just fake wig and a beard.
I forgot about the Omezo, though. The Omezo's there. He could swim out to the Omezo, and there would be a razor and some scissors out there. He could be giving himself a haircut. It's possible.
Yeah, it's possible, but highly unlikely.
Because we know those are shark-infested waters, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, he's setting up this elaborate ruse right from the beginning where he's telling the world, I was stranded on an island for 5 years, and it's a complete and utter lie right from the get-go. So he's like, I got to sell it somehow.
Well, remember, Oliver likes to lie about everything we've come to realize over the course of this show.
There's one thing Oliver is good about. It is lying.
Good about, but not good about doing.
He's even lying to his own sister about the video from their dad. Oh no, I don't want to show it to her because it tells her to look out for me. Really? You're going to prevent your sister from the last words from her father and you think it's okay?
I don't know. Thea's been kind of off the rails for a while between the bloodlust from last season and not feeling like she's really found her path this season. I don't have a sister or any siblings really, but I can score to see where he's coming from. It's not a malicious act. It's an act he feels he's trying to protect her, and he does come to the realization later on in the show, give him credit, that he shouldn't have done it.
What do you mean you don't have any siblings? I thought we were brothers, Chris. You lied to me.
Sorry, dude.
And you have to remember, when he came back, Thea was on drugs, and she was skipping school, and Moira really wasn't being much of a mother. That's true, but Thea was going through some stuff. So I could kind of understand him maybe not doing it right away. But when she had that nice window, she kind of knew what was going on. And like when she was with Roy and stuff like that, maybe then he could have showed it to her.
Interesting. Well, I mean, she did have, what's his name, in her life too. Moira's husband at the time. Help me out, guys.
Walter.
You had Walter in there. Walter was a stabilizing.
Was it Walter Steele or something like that? That was his name?
Yeah, I miss him.
He's still around, right? I mean, he hasn't been killed.
He is still alive. He just works for a bank now or something like that.
In Australia, I believe.
I thought he might have moved to Australia or something. But remember, he was working for the bank, and something in season two came into play where he loaned money or loaned some sort of connection with the bank to make Oliver be able to do something. I can't remember. It's kind of blurry.
Yeah, so Thea had Walter. She had a stabilizing factor in her life, and her brother shows up. I think everything's fine. Give her the video.
Well, he did.
Now, five years later. All right, what else does Oliver do this episode, Michelle?
Well, Felicity fans had a moment this episode. Felicity, in this stunning little outfit, I love like the blouse with the flouncy little thing, and then like she had like this high-waisted skirt. Anyway, it was a really majorly cute outfit. Anyway, her and Oliver have like this conversation where he's like, you know, the past is pulling me back and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, you know, you've done good. Our lives are better because you've been in it. My life's been better because you've been in it. Maybe it's time to stop living for the past. Maybe it's time to move forward and to live for yourself. And that includes being Green Arrow. And that worked magic because he decides to bring back the suit and suit up as Green Arrow.
Oliver gets his groove back is what I took away out of that.
I think this is all a ploy by Prometheus and by Talia to get the Green Arrow back out in the streets again. I honestly don't think that this episode had any other redeeming values because Prometheus is not defeated. Not only do we see in the promotions for next week, but we know that it's not over yet. We still have several episodes. This season isn't going to end on a 2 or 3 episode prologue. So yeah, there's going to be stuff happening. I think they've got Oliver exactly where they want him.
I don't think they care one way or another whether he's out there in his weird fabric-y black mask or out there as the Green Arrow. They just wanted him out there so they continue to play the game.
No, I think it is definite. I don't know if they want to unmask him to the public. I don't want to know if they want to make sure that he's defeated in both visibly. I don't know, but I know that they have a reason for bringing him back. They wanted him back, and this is how they got him back.
No, I mean, okay, look. Part of my thing with now with Prometheus is that, man, this boy has had a lot of free time over the past 4 years or so. I mean, this is like layers upon layers. It's kind of like, good grief. My gosh, there's a hobby, and then there's like, what? But no, this is something they cannot have manufactured this conversation with Felicity for him to get it back because he's been going around as the black hockey mask dude for a bit and it didn't change his plan. It doesn't really, you know, Chris is right. It doesn't really matter if he's in the black mask or Green Arrow. It meant something for us as the fans and for Oliver to be Green Arrow again, just because, you know, this season has been about legacy, moving forward, blah, blah, blah. And it's nice that he's doing that. But, you know, I think it's interesting that he gets to that point and then he thinks he gets Prometheus where he wants him because there's that moment at the end where they're like, hey, we got the bad guy. But then we know that it's yet another part of a plan. Good Lord.
It was too easy getting him at the end, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, really, did anyone think it was over when he's like, oh, my dad didn't love me. Let me put my sword down and say, kill me. What? No. Well, obviously, there's motions within motions. It just seemed, if you're Oliver, how do you believe that those few lines are what's going to stop Prometheus's rampage?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I don't believe it. I think they manufactured everything to get him, to get Oliver to get in a sense of complacency, basically. And there's still a lot to do. Heck, the vigilante is still out there, too. Don't forget, vigilante's out.
We don't see him until season 6, I don't think, at this point.
Yeah, yeah, they've already made that determination that's season 6. But also, I can't believe Oliver's happy when it's like, the guy was trained with Talia al Ghul, and Talia is on the guy's side, and Talia already helped him before. Because when Prometheus captured Oliver, it was Talia who's the one that shot Oliver. So I can't believe Oliver is like, yeah, we got him, when, duh, Talia's out there.
There's just a lot of moving parts, as I just said. So we'll see how this progresses in the next couple episodes. Let's talk about Thea, because she's back. And she's just back because Oliver wanted her back. But she said that I could take care of myself, but yet she allowed herself to be brought back, even though she didn't want to be back. So still kind of confused why she's back, because she really shouldn't be back.
Because it was time to bring her back to be in the finale.
Bingo.
Or to steal a line from Neil, because plot.
It was very poorly constructed plot, in my opinion. I mean, I'm glad to have her back.
Well, as opposed to all of her absences that were well-constructed this season.
Well, she was fired. It was time to let her go. Resignation accepted.
It's par for the course with the Thea character this season, is there's just these random interruptions where she disappears, and you're like, okay, that's great. When is she going to come back, and how awkward will this return be? Because it kind of gets shoehorned in there.
Well, how many other people are gone? Like, Ragman's gone. What's-her-name is gone. The other superhero.
Yeah, Ragman left and hasn't come back. Thea's left and has come and gone like 3 different times this season.
Well, that's because Willa Holland wasn't on contract. She was only contract for a few episodes, which somebody needs to get on that, because next season we need more Thea. And Artemis is supposed to come back either next, well, there's only two episodes left, right? So she's supposed to come back. Yeah, who knows about Ragman?
And let's not forget about Oliver's son and the baby mama. They're out there too.
Well, Felicity can't find them, which for some reason they're like, oh, well, they're so good at hiding, Felicity can't find them. As opposed to, maybe we can't find them because Prometheus has them?
Maybe.
That's possible, yeah.
I actually thought they opened up the concrete crate. I thought that was going to be the baby mama, but no, it wasn't. Deagle had an amazing episode. After all that great acting with his wife and everything, they really brought him back to a starring role this episode, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. He did a great job of being supportive of Oliver and not doing much else.
It was his gun that shot out the line that trapped the bad guy.
That must be some strong stuff, because Samson really wasn't able to struggle much.
It was like he was being electrocuted. I think it was a constant like taser function going on. That's what it looked like to me.
Oh, okay.
And that all came from Deagle. I mean, Deagle was the reason why this episode succeeded.
Sure.
I am being completely sarcastic, by the way. Deagle was in, like, what, three scenes and didn't really do much. So there you go.
But it's Dig.
All right. I will admit, with Felicity, she had an amazing outfit, especially the floras in front. I don't know. There's just something about that outfit that drew my eyes to it. I'm like, wow, Felicity hasn't been this eye-catching in a while. And it was a good episode for her. What do you think, Chris, about the outfit? Michelle's already had her say.
I don't really care one way or another about the outfit. I'm glad that it was someone that finally convinced Oliver to wear the mask again. I figured it was probably going to end up being her, especially after last week's stuff.
So what do you think about Elicity? Are we still going to have it?
They're going to tease it.
Oh, he touched her shoulder and the way she looked and all that type of stuff. I think the Elicity train is leaving the station again.
Yeah, going for another round. What do you think, Chris?
They're going to go back to the will they won't they dynamic for a while, and we'll see what happens.
It's that thing where they need to not get together and do the thing in order to keep the ratings up, right, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they do with Moonlighting. Wasn't that the name of the show with Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd?
Yeah.
And I'm directly referencing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 for those that don't know. Okay. Quentin. He's got things under control at City Hall. I mean, he's got things in motion to go after the 36 escape prisoners. And I'll call them escape because it's really what they are, even though a judge let him out. And then he's got this whole thing with Renee. I think he had a solid episode doing what Quentin usually did. And I'm a little bit conflicted on Renee. I was thinking about this episode. I know we were talking about before, but he's in an office most of the time, yet he doesn't join the team all the time for ops. So Renee isn't exactly part of the team, but he's part of the team. And Quentin's like the centering faction for it. I don't know. Did I make any sense there? Obviously not.
Yeah, I mean, because Renee on Team Arrow is, let me fire some guns, which is kind of like what Dig can do. So it's like, now that we got Dig back, he's going to be promoted to a series regular next season. So he's either going to be more in the mayor's office, or they've got to do something with Wild Dog being more than just, here I am in some lame hockey mask with some guns.
I actually thought Renee could have actually increased his responsibilities, because if Oliver is cut out of being the mayor and Quentin's the mayor, he's going to need a deputy. So that could be Thea or Renee.
That'd be interesting.
Well, Oliver's going to be mayor.
We know that for sure, that Oliver's going to get out of this season being married.
There's a news item.
All right. We have news. Theory just completely decimated. All right. So let's talk about being terrific, Chris.
Gets the nice line of, we're terrific here, or something like that. He gets to use his brain and his brawn this week. Gets to knock a dude out earlier on in the episode, and then defuses the bioweapon at the end. Not a bad week for Curtis.
And he doesn't get his butt kicked.
Always a good thing.
All right. What else do we got, Michelle?
Not much else besides Prometheus, did you guys notice at the end where Prometheus is in an Argus cell, but they let him have television, which, okay, whatever. But one of the things I liked was, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Oliver's making this great speech as mayor about moving forward and all this type of things and stuff. And the way it's like, you saw the reflection of Oliver as mayor on the cell because it's a clear cell. And then you see Adrian and it's almost like overlaid. I really thought that was a great piece of direction right there. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a really cool shot when they did it too.
Even if it was just CGI, it was very well done. I admit, I was looking at that going, wow, they really pulled that one off. Although I will say, because of my time overseeing prisons briefly, I do know that they do get TV time when they're not being bad. So if they're on suicide watch, I don't think they do, though. And the room kind of reminded me of a suicide watch room.
I felt it was just kind of an FU to him, which was like, hey, watch what Oliver's going to do now.
Could have been. Could have been directed by the mayor, because we all know he does what he wants to do and avoids the advice of his protectors around
him. Or the Argus director could have suggested it.
Which was not in this episode.
No.
All right, Chris, you got anything else?
I do not.
All right. Michelle, if you don't have anything else, why don't you take us into what is in store for us next week?
Sure thing. Next week's episode is called Missing. It's episode 22, so it's the penultimate episode. It's going to air Wednesday, May 17th. Black Siren returns to give Chase help. Felicity plans a birthday party for Oliver. Parties on Arrow. Yeah, like that's going to be great.
That never fails.
Never fails at all. And Lance is angry with Renee for missing the custody hearing about his daughter. Director Marzi Almas, writers Speedweed and Oscar Balderrama.
Yeah, it's going to be a good episode. Of course, the penultimate episode of the season, because we know it is not the series. This series has been renewed. All right, gang. With that, we're going to move on into the weekly news. Straight for the news desk, the main news desk of the Starling Tribune. Chris has a wonderful story about the season finale synopsis for the DC TV shows.
So we've hit that finale time, guys. We're about 2 weeks out from the finales for all the shows coming out. So the CW put out some brief synopses of what we're going to see in Arrow, Supergirl, and Flash. So let's start with Arrow's season 5 finale. They say, the battle between Oliver and Adrian Chase culminates in a final epic battle on Lian Yu. After recent events, Oliver decides to recruit a group of unlikely allies, Slade, Nyssa, Merlin, and Digger Harkness, to defeat Chase. However, Chase has his own army, Black Siren, Evelyn Sharp, and Talia al Ghul, and the forces collide in an explosive season finale.
Wow. I didn't know it was going to take place on Lian Yu. That is some good news.
It seems like they've been building up towards it. Supergirl season 2 finale. What we know is that Supergirl challenges Rhea to save National City. Meanwhile, Superman returns and Cat Grant offers Supergirl some sage advice.
Cat Grant! Yay!
And then we get even less detailed in the final synopsis. Season 3 finale of Flash. With nothing left to lose, Barry takes on Savitar in an epic conclusion to Season 3. That's a very detailed synopsis they gave us there.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, we'll see in a couple of weeks what's going on there. In the meantime, Michelle, we're exploring the conflicts between being mayor and being the Green Arrow.
Yes, during a recent interview, showrunner Wendy Miracle told comicbook.com that the man in the hood will be spending his days at City Hall come next season. Miracle said what's going to be a central question for season 6 is how can he do both? We've played with that in the past in different ways before, but I think the success of what he's done in the mayor's office and his ability to have impact is going to raise those stakes to a different level and hopefully create some great stories. So this is why I said that he looks like Ollie's going to be Mayor Ollie next season.
Interesting. We're going to keep our eyes on this one as we go forward. And then finally, Michelle, you have some great insight on Supergirl's Mon-El.
Yeah, will Mon-El ever get a super suit? And he's been doing his thing in street clothes. And it looks like it's going to be someday. It looks like if it's not going to be in the season two finale, it's going to be in season three, which means Mon-El survives and is part of season three, which I don't know how I feel about that still. But hey, maybe someday he'll get a suit and it'll be another hero on Supergirl.
They like their super suits on Supergirl.
Legends is supposed to be full of superheroes because it's an ensemble show. So I don't know how I'm feeling about, because Flash has now another speedster with it and such. And now with Supergirl, you know, Mon-El, and then there's Guardian and stuff. So I don't know how I feel about my shows getting so crowded.
It's definitely a balance, and we've seen it come and wane with Arrow, because you have these big teams being built and then off the bat really get dismantled. Like, they're only together for maybe an episode or whatever, and then they're apart. So yeah, you're right. We'll see how they take it on Supergirl, because until now, Supergirl really hasn't had a large team. It's been a relatively small team in between the DEO, Supergirl, and then whatever other superheroes they're pairing up with. But now it's getting kind of crowded. You're absolutely right about that. Especially with The Guardian, which, doesn't he have a newspaper to run?
Yeah, one would think that would keep him busy.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So stay tuned as we find out all about that. By the way, Chris's news can be found on CBR.com. Michelle's news about the conflict of Oliver Queen and Green Arrow can be found at comicbook.com. And Michelle's news on Supergirl can be found on a TVLine.com article on the scoop on Arrow, Once, Chicago Fire, Elementary, Blind Spot, The Flash, NCIS, and more. Published on the 9th of May, 2017. All right, Chris, we have a lot of other geeky shows on our network, and I just need to know about one. So tell me about one of the other shows on our network.
Only one. That makes it tough, because we do have a lot of shows you can find over on GonnaGeekNetwork.com. But each week, we want to highlight one specific show to kind of point you guys towards that we think you'll really like. This week, I want to talk about episode 36 of the In Defense of cast, entitled Between the Panels. Joined by Jeremy Raddick and Danica LeBlanc, we discuss the role of comic books in social relevance. So you can check out episode 36 of the In Defense of cast over at GonnaGeekNetwork.com. And guys, looking at everything now, it's time for us to start wrapping things up. So a big thank you to all the live listeners that participate in the Geeks.live chat room, and also to anyone who downloads the replays or listens to the replays as well. Don't forget, you can download the podcasts from our website at starlingtribune.com. You can replay them on YouTube. We're everywhere for you guys to consume again.
We're also live every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and you can find us at geeks.live. We stream video and audio through there. And also, we have a great live chat, which can be found, again, at geeks.live. So thank you very much for everybody for joining us. We really appreciate that, and we look forward to y'all joining us next week, and then the next week, for the season finale of Arrow.
You can watch the next live show on the Go to Geek Network over on geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all those five-star reviews. Like us on Facebook and YouTube, and badger us on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information on the Go to Geek Network at GoToGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, great episode, guys. That about wraps it up for another week. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
That's a good question, Michelle. I'll go with hashtag Dinah Drake for mayor.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag daddy issues.
And I am at Michelle Ely. Hashtag drowning in concrete. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained. by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.